My name is Odisea Hajiwanu. I am 16 years old. Today is November 26, 2017. I'm speaking with Aryan Hajiwanu, who is my dad. We're recording this interview in Los Angeles, California. So you have been a big influence in my life. Who is someone who has had a big influence in your life, and what did they do?
Hi, Odisea. I guess, in a similar fashion, maybe like you, my father had a great influence in my life, among other people, of course, but he had a big influence, and he still has in a way, and his way has been primarily not through direct pointing out about things, but by showing the example, leading by example, if you will. So in that sense, you know, I can see him now even after all these years. He's still alive, he's still around, and I can see how the way he leads his life and the way he led his life, and I wish I can fulfill, I hope I can fulfill my aspirations in a way of leading a fruitful life and successful life like he did.
Okay. So, yay. You were not born in the U.S. You came here for school, am I correct? Yeah, and so what is your story, Armwave?
Unlike some people who actually come here in the United States at a very young, tender age, or even the people who come in here just going go to college, I actually never thought I was going to come to the United States, never thought I was going to become an emigre, I guess. And, you know, as I was growing up in Greece, I went through their educational system there, and which was a good one, and I went actually through college there. So I had, in a way, built my friendships and built a real life until it was time for me to essentially, you know, enter the workforce. And I didn't feel that I was complete at the time, and I felt I needed to, you know, continue my studies, and the only place I could see I could do that was actually the United States. So I came here at the age 24. So my English, in a way, is also influenced by that, because I learned it at a later age, learned to speak at a later age.
Okay, yay. And when you came here, you told me something about being a something alien, unknown alien.
Yeah, I was a non-resident alien for a number of years until eventually I became a U.S. citizen, you know, much later, almost 10 years later. I became a U.S. citizen, 14 years later, actually. But yes, I was basically on a green card status for a number of years, but initially it was a student visa, because I came here for graduate school. After I finished college in Greece, I came here for graduate school, and I went to, I came here on a student visa.
Okay, yay. So, what would you consider, I don't know, one of your proudest moments, proudest achievements?
I think actually that, you know, when I came to the United States, I had no family here or any person to, you know, lean back to if things got tough. I had basically only myself to rely on. And I think I managed all right. And I think that, you know, for me, I guess, one of the most important steps was actually when I got tenure at the university as a professor. So that, in a way, is I don't know if you can put a singular moment, but it was certainly an important point in my career. It was just a demonstration of my successes in the scientific field.
Yeah, and I had something very interesting to say. Something very interesting. And since I cannot forget it, I cannot remember it, random conversation started, which I hope will work. So earlier I was speaking to my, and I was learning in health about like consent and what consent is, and I was speaking with mom about it and had a great conversation. Let's see if that conversation can, conversation starter can work again. So we were talking about like consent and how,
you asked my consent for this interview, for example.
Yes, yes.
But
yes.
That's not exactly what you mean.
Yeah, kind of. Not yes, no. Okay. You were talking about how, like, has to be like.
You mean relationships between boys and girls?
I guess.
In that context. Okay.
Yeah. So, we were having all these examples of like. Of like situations where it was or was not obvious whether consent was given.
I think that, you know, where I grew up, we didn't have this very, I think we made much less of a fuss over all these things. It came much more naturally. When I went to, was your age, I went into a mixed school from an all-boys school. We started basically a mixed school between, you know, boys and girls in school. And one of my first trips with a, you know, we were going on a, I guess, a field trip, a day trip. And there was this girl in my class who, she was pretty well endowed. She was sort of, you know, developed, well-developed for her age. And she told me, "Arian, come here, let me show you something." And I said, "You know, what is it, sure?" So she showed me a cleavage, and she had on her breast pocket, she had condoms. And she, and she told me, "So, how are we going to, I'm going to shake the tree?" So for me, I guess, in a way, she'd asked my consent, I guess.
Yes.
So you know, but again, in a way, things came much more naturally. And, you know, it was obvious whether you're going to ask or not. And, you know, there's no, I guess, the sense of sexual violence, I think, you know, for me at that age, was basically non-existent. I think we, you know, we didn't have instances like that could be, you know, could be happening of violence. It was, you know, whether you wanted it or not, the thing was mutual, then it would be fun. That's it.
Yeah, and I'm pretty sure this does not, of course, it's not applied to everyone, but I keep seeing all these things of, like, people saying you can revoke consent after the fact, and then that makes it, then that makes it rape.
Yes, that for me is something I cannot quite understand. Maybe I do understand it now, but it's something that I think there's, you know, people would clearly understand whether, if that person has this type of behavior, if a person has this type of behavior, they essentially, they're not in peace with themselves.
Yes.
They are not, you know, 100% well with what they are looking for in their life. And they don't want to take responsibility for the actions. So, but because of this possibility of this happening, especially you as a boy, you need to be very careful and make sure that at every step along the way, you know, there is consent. In a way, of course, that becomes tedious, and then I say, you know, you stop asking, but that's something that you have to go by the feeling of the moment.
Forever alone.
Okay.
Maybe not.
No, that's not what you want.
Thinking of topics.
Talking about forever alone, I think that's it's an interesting thing. That you know, when I came to the United States, I came to go to school primarily. So I left all my friends back in Greece. And also, any friends that I made in college, and they were temporary there in college.
Yeah.
And it's a very international system. A lot of these friends that I made moved on. So for me, it's been a little bit of a lonely life, because it's been a little bit different and difficult to, you know, have friends that stick around. And I, even the friends I made in college, now I have, they are not in the in Los Angeles anymore. So, you know, they are around the world, and I see them a few times a year, maybe once or twice a year in conferences, things like that. And then I also see my family and some of my friends, but I don't have any close friends anymore, because I don't, I mean, it's, you know, the friends that I made at the age where usually you make friends, those, that life is gone in a way. So that's one of the things that I'm looking back now. You know, I'm not sure if I can change it, but certainly that was a trade-off that I made in terms of, you know, coming to the United States and going to, you know, graduate school and devoting myself to science in a way.
Yeah, and speaking of friends, I feel like it's difficult to make some for me.
Yeah. Okay, that I understand that, and I think that I see that on you, and I'm trying to figure out ways of helping you. But I think one of the ways you can help yourself is also to raise your face from that, those, you know, phones and computers and all stuff that we tend to sort of stick our noses into it whenever we have a free moment. But you also have some environments where, you know, you can find friends at, with your robotics clubs and things like that. You know, you can seek out to that and try to see, you know, there. Also at your school. I mean, I'm sure the school is a big school. I'm sure there will be some kids there who would be, you know, have some interest. They may not be exactly the same, your interest. They don't need to share exactly your interest in robotics or in, you know, rocketry or things like that. But on the other hand, you know, kids your age, they have common interest in girls and, you know, life and video games and whatever you have. This, you know, there's a common things that most of the kids your age have. So you should try to explore that some more and spend some more time. And at your school, don't stick your phone, your face in the phone at every, you know, break or whatever. Just get out of that and you know, look around you. And I know it's difficult to remember names, but, you know, you see somebody, if there's something interesting they can tell you, then you can actually try to, you know, reach out to them. And I think you should do much more of that.
Yeah, I found some interesting figures at the anime club.
Okay.
Yeah, they're nice and fun. And, yeah, sometimes...
The anime club, which anime?
At school.
At school, okay.
Yeah, yeah. Okay. And sometimes I also feel... I think I'm a bit, like, too overly... I don't know, considering of my of my social failures, so I'm like afraid to socially fail, so I don't really say anything.
Yeah, I don't think that's a social failure. I think you just gotta be a little more careful, but to express yourself. And I think that, you know, the kids at this age, they could be, you know, rude, they could be brutal in a way, but you know, you have hear yourself, and you should have confidence in yourself. And you know, that's, I think you just have to go with that. And I think if kids, you know, sort of attack you, or if they sort of mock you or whatever, then you should not, you should, don't want to have those as friends anyway, if people tend to do that. I mean, you're a very wonderful, nice person, and you should, you know, treat others the way you want to be treated too.
Yeah, I, some people try to make fun of me by, like, spouting random jargon of various fields in science, technology, and math, and etc. And I'm assuming that they're trying to make fun of me, but they just kind of sound weird and not very intelligent, I guess.
Exactly.
Yes. I like to use I like to use smart terms to make me sound more photosynthesis.
Okay.
Yes. Yes. Other topics. I guess that was a good time to stop.
Good time to stop.
Okay. Now I just need to publish this.
Publish it.
Okay, let's see.
Go in your phone and see if you can actually read.